This is Health Frontiers with Lexi Ross. Tonight we have kind of an unusual guest. It's Miss Gabrielle Goodlock, and Gabrielle has had a most frightening experience with being exposed to toxic fumes in her apartment building, and she's had about 2 years of battling the system, trying to get some results for her health problems and battling her health problems, and so she's going to be sharing her story because I know there are many, many people across the country who go through similar situations and really don't know quite what to do about the fact that their communities don't support them. Good evening, Gabrielle, and it is so nice to have you on the show.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, I want you to tell our listening audience exactly what happened, how it happened, where you were living, what was going on in your apartment complex to create this toxic situation.
I had moved to a newly developed area called Flatirons Mall area in off of Highway 36 between Boulder and Denver. And about 5 minutes from that Flatirons Mall, I was living in a beautiful apartment complex that is similar to an Italian village. It was up on a large hill. And the building that I was in was a three-story building, and I was residing, even though the entry is on the first floor, I was actually residing above the garages on the second floor. And
Let me interject something here. I want to say that the Flatiron Mall is the largest mall in the Boulder area. I mean, that's a very popular mall. So you were in a very nice neighborhood, no one would ever suspect that such a thing would be going on.
Not for paying a rent of $1,100 to $1,300 or more.
Wow. Yeah.
And so you're paying mortgage payments.
Oh, yeah.
For 950 square feet. And it was, like I said, everything was fine the first year, except that cracks started coming into the wall, small cracks that you could say were settling. And it was in January of 2001 that I renewed my lease, and there was no notification of any construction coming or anything by the new property manager, Sherry Reynolds. And it was about mid-January that I started experiencing what I would call flu-like symptoms, the aching joints, and it kept getting worse. And then I would wake up, and about 3 months later, I was waking up with no voice, and I was hoarse, and it just kept getting progressively worse. My health was failing me, and I didn't understand why, because I had always been a fairly healthy person up until that point. And then it was in June of 2001 that they started doing construction on the bottom floor in my garage underneath me. And
why were they doing the construction?
Well, they didn't explain that originally. But when she originally called me, she just said it was going to be a little bit of construction, which one would interpret being small and quickly done. And this construction in the third week of June of 2001 started drilling through the 2 feet of cement, six holes that are approximately 4.5 by 4 feet by 5 to 8 feet deep or more. And then they attached, this construction company attached this equipment called steel pilings, which there's a metal plate that has to screw in to the 2 feet of concrete for these pilings to start punching the steel pilings under the foundation to support the foundation.
So in other words, they were putting in steel pilings that were to prevent the cracking of the building. Evidently, they were...
Well, I didn't find out. I started smelling these fumes, and I didn't really find out until later on. It was in July. I was overcome with these fumes, and they wouldn't let us out of our leases, and this property manager kept telling us that there was no other units available, and yet that this was a safe place to live, and these fumes were overwhelming, and it just kept getting worse and worse, coming further up the stairs until they enveloped the whole apartment.
Wow.
And what the fumes were, there were rubber tubes connecting each in between the steel pilings in the six holes in my garage. And they were pumping steel pilings. What I found out, there were times that was 24 hours a day. And you could hear this snapping and cracking in the middle of the night. And I basically, later on, with much probing and many, many numerous calls, found out that the footings of the foundation had broken and that the center of that foundation was sinking in the center.
You mean the foundation of the whole apartment?
Of the whole building, the complete building, if you can imagine, like a city block. This building is absolutely enormous, three stories high.
Wow.
So this was not, and they had the construction company doing the steel pilings worked on residential buildings. Well, a residential house would be considerably smaller than a large commercial building like this. And these apartments, mind you, are going to be sold as condominiums.
Still?
Well, this is the original plan in the whole development of the Flatirons Mall Interlochen area. And this is a very high-tech community, and they were advertising high-speed internet lines and everything, because you're sitting, it's in the heart of, like, the Silicon Chip world there.
Is that, what neighborhood is that referred to out there?
That is called Interlochen.
Oh, it is?
It is called Interlochen, okay. And up the street is Level 3, down the street is, there's another computer company there. I can't think of what it is at the moment, but it's a prestigious company. And so you have some of your Corporate Express is across the street from this. You're surrounded by all of this industrial area. So the situation was that when the mountain, this mountain of clay-packed soil, half of the mountain was removed to build the Marriott Residence Inn up against this mound, which was right beneath the building that I was in, is what caused the destabilization of the building that I was in. And it was actually pulling to the direction, it was sliding off the hill north to the direction of the Marriott Residence Inn beneath it, and it was collapsing, the foundation was literally collapsing, breaking in the center, and which there was an actual split going vertically through the building to the roof.
Oh, my God.
All the way through horizontally at the same points. It was breaking in half.
Is the building still standing today?
It is still standing today. This methodology, the first construction company, did not, it was 3D peering and home improvement. It did not stay until, it made it till, I believe it was August. And then there was another construction company that came in, and they were trying to drill smaller holes in between these huge gaping holes in the foundation that were, I would say, 6 inches in diameter, and they were putting these swords in there, and then they had cables that they were trying to pull the swords through. They were trying to pull the building south, and their cable snapped. So they only lasted 2 weeks, and this was about the time that I had my fourth or fifth call in to the chief building official, Tom Thompson in Broomfield. And I said, the second construction company has left. I think you need to come out to this site.
Well, now,
and then
were you aware at that point that you were having some reaction to the toxic chemicals?
I knew something was happening, but I didn't know what. Nobody could diagnose it. And Tom Thompson came out September 5th of 2001 with and Channel 7 News. I didn't know if they would show up or not, but they came 5 minutes behind Tom Thompson, and it got put on. It was a top story at 5 p.m. And even then, I didn't know the whole story of this area like I do now, because it's taken me considerable research over the years to find out what the problem was. But the basic situation was after that there were chemical pools in over 20 holes that they had drilled throughout the bottom of this building.
What were the chemical pools called?
The chemical pools were of hydraulic oil from the first construction company that were lubricating the steel piling equipment, and it had leached out, and these holes were never covered. So what was happening when the garages were closed on the bottom floor, throughout the whole building, the fumes were being encapsulated in the building itself, traveling to the second and third floor. And we were being, the tenants were being suffocated with carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, benzene, toluene, xylene, and so forth.
Wow. Well, and were other people in the building suffering
yes.
the same way you were?
Well, I didn't, yes, but they don't know. I'm the only one, and it took me another year to even find out what this is called. Environmental doctors and toxicologists call it sick building syndrome.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really matter what the chemicals are. It could be methamphetamine, any type of chemicals. It doesn't matter. It's all the same effects. And there are about five different effects of that. There is a reactive upper airways dysfunction syndrome that's in reactive. It's called RUDS and RADS. And RADS is reactive airways dysfunction syndrome. And then there's vocal cord dysfunction. There is lymphatic infiltrates. And I forgot the other one, but you will definitely have an effect. You just don't attribute it to what's considered an environmental injury. And when you go to the doctor, doctors will start picking and choosing their names for it. And the first diagnosis I had was asthma, and then there was another diagnosis of breast cancer. Then there was another diagnosis of a mass in my lung. And they just kind of pick and choose what they want to put on the paper, what they want to selectively record and biopsy.
What symptoms were you having at that point?
The symptoms started out as the flu. Everyone that has been exposed to environmental illness has some type of joints swelling, and it's very much to the flu. You just feel under the weather. You may start sneezing a lot. But in my situation, I just kept getting worse. You have what they call brain fog. Your memory is going because you have lesions in your brain coming into play. Because what happens is that the chemicals metabolize in the blood and destroy your actual cells as it goes through your body and then exits out through your urine. But by that time, it's what's called residual damage. And then you have to deal with the damage effects of the chemicals. And the effects are so complex that the regular community will not only not call it environmental injury, they'll just select one element of the effect and put you on chemo or recommend that you go on chemo.
Oh, really?
And radiation.
Which would kill you altogether.
In every environmental MD that I've talked to, which there's only like a handful in the United States, state that would absolutely kill you because it's a toxic overload. And there are, in my situation, there were hydraulic oil metabolites, or P40, in my liver, and the liver performs 250 functions, which means that the liver cannot process any more toxins.
That's right.
Or drugs. It's an overload.
That's right.
And this is why in a number of cases, even cancer, people don't attribute their cancers to environmental impairments or environmental exposures. They don't know, they don't have enough education, and the medical community would not attribute it to that because they know the extraordinary costs. They're not educated into the chemistry because it's a completely foreign chemistry to them to cure, because that's the cure would be some very complex high-end IV therapy, and which are geared specifically for whatever your particular situation is, for your blood test results.
Well, doctors don't look at the cause of what happens to someone anyway, so they are not interested in really curing or cleansing the system to get the chemicals out of your system, all they're going to do is give you something to mask what's happening most of the time.
Right. And so here I was, I started out with flu-like symptoms, and I went, I couldn't, my memory was escaping me, and I always had very great long-term memory. And I couldn't even remember where my car would be parked in a parking lot when I came out of a store.
Wow.
So my short-term memory was affected as well. And processing, because of brain lesions, became a real issue. So you can't really function in your environment or be competitive in jobs. So when you try to go for Social Security disability, they don't recognize it as an impairment, and they deny you any form of disability.
Well, were you actually out of work for a while?
I was out of work for at least a year. And my health, my hair was falling out, and these masses started coming underneath my skin, right in the chest area, about the size of my hand. And
you say masses, you mean like tissue was forming, or
it was
or a fat deposit?
The first thing that happened was that it came on my right breast, right underneath my skin by the nipple. There was a mass, a hardened mass forming, and it became like a silver dollar. It kept getting larger. And one of the diagnoses was breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
Because it was ductal carcinoma, because it was in the duct. Well, the way it got into the duct was it went and metabolized in
the
lymphatic system.
Yeah, exactly.
So it spread. It wasn't just in that duct. It was spreading throughout 3/4 of my body. So the first biopsy that I had was a fine needle aspiration, and they punctured this 5-inch needle into my chest in that mass, which was absolutely the wrong thing to do, because if it's cancer, you don't want to spread cells.
Right.
So they just distributed it through 3/4 of my body.
Oh, my God.
Then the second biopsy was what they called a bilateral biopsy, which is a surgical biopsy. And at that point, I had gone through a number of IVs, and they said that the cells were not cancerous at that biopsy.
Wait a minute, what kind of IVs were they giving you at that point?
Well, in between that, I went to a naturopathic doctor, and he had taken one look at my blood. This was in November 14th of 2002, and he gave me IVs that would be called chelation IVs.
Uh-huh, chelation.
And then the second IV after that would be what would be termed as a Myers IV or a high-end vitamin IV.
I see.
And that's why it worked, and because we were flushing the chemicals out.
Fantastic.
And you have to continue to do that every year. Even the environmental MDs, if you go to a standard medical MD, they will put you on IVs for 6 weeks, along with a complete dietary change, dietary regime. You have to go into saunas to sweat out the toxins. You have to do exercise to pump oxygen into your body, because disease cannot thrive where oxygen
exists. Right, a highly aerobic environment.
Yes, high. So there's a whole program that you have to go on, and every year for 2 weeks you have to go on IVs and take these blood tests.
With the dark field microscopy.
Well, the dark field gives you an immediate image, but standard blood tests that they can be sent to the lab. Alyssa Biotechnologies actually does these. They're $600 blood tests, and they are high-end tests, and they'll take you through 400 tests of food, chemicals, and so forth. And the chemicals will still show on those blood tests if there's any residual chemicals in your body. As long as there are, you have to continue on the IV protocols.
I see.
Because it's like a re-injury in your body if you don't keep flushing the chemicals out. Because the chemicals will take hold, and in the dark field microscope, you will see small little bubbles around the blood cells. And when I first went to the naturopathic doctor, he said everything in my body was shutting down. And one of the interesting things that we took camera shots of, he had a camera hooked up to his microscope, so I still have these photographs, where the blood cells were compressed and stacked in chains like scallops on the edge of a dress.
Wow.
That's what they look like. And blood cells should be free-floating, round, whole, and not touching each other. That's what normal, healthy blood looks like.
Right.
And there shouldn't be anything else in the background. Where my blood, when I initially came to him, it was linked together in like scallops, and then there were all these specks in the background, and he explained what was happening was there was a toxic overload, and their liver specules, in other words, I had such a, the liver couldn't process everything, and it was going off into the bloodstream, that I, the reason I was losing my hair is I had a, what do they call it, a hypoactive thyroid, not hypo, but a very, my thyroid had shut down, I was not producing enough proteolytic enzymes to adjust my food, basically everything in my body was shutting down.
Wow.
And he had told me to go to a toxicologist immediately. So he only did the IVs after I had gone to the appropriate medical community. I had gone to four or five different hospitals here, and nobody would give me a diagnosis. No, I don't officially have an official diagnosis to this day. And nobody would treat me because they were only going to put down, oh, well, one doctor wanted to put down breast cancer. The toxicologist wanted to put down the two respiratory conditions, REDS and RADS. The National Jewish wanted to say that I had a mass in my lung after first initially saying that I had asthma. So no one wanted to come out with a straight, full-body diagnosis or protocol.
Is that because they were afraid of the political ramifications?
National Jewish, absolutely, because the second man that the toxicologist had sent me to was studied at Yale, and I had read what he had written before. He absolutely knew that this was chemical exposure. And he, in his final report, stated that the lymphatic infiltrates were going away. He was the only one to mention those. And lymphatic infiltrates show up as shadows, or if you had a finger pressed up against glass and it leaves a little impression. That's what it looks like on an x-ray. And you will actually see these pea-sized, what some people would term as masses or cysts, in your lymphatic system in the x-rays. You can actually pick them out and you can feel them underneath the skin. And he knew, but he only said, he kept saying, we are a lung hospital. That's the only thing we treat here is lung injuries. So he refused to put down anything else or give me a diagnosis for anything else because he knew that once he did that, that he could be called as a witness in a multi-million dollar case, which would be termed as a murder case, not just a civil case, and this would probably... It's too much money to get into. They would fear for their medical practice or their reputation at the hospital.
Would you mention his name on the air?
Balkison.
Really?
The toxicologist was a Teitelbaum. And the amazing part about it is that not only were my medical records manipulated, but also the billing automatically. For some reason, I was because I wasn't working, a Colorado Indigent Care Patient, CICP. In other words, the state's paying for this. And because that was another part of it, they knew that it would cost thousands of dollars to treat you, so they just conveniently lose your CICP card and start billing you and keep billing you over the years. This has never gone away.
Wow. In the meantime, what was going on with the apartment complex and what were you taking any legal action against the apartment complex? or what were you
well,
doing?
Well, to take legal action against the apartment complex, you have to have evidence. And when the fumes were there at their peak, were at the strongest, I called up the property manager in June of 2001 and asked her if she had were using any chemicals. And she didn't say anything about chemicals. She said, she said the way she put it was there's hydraulic fluid being pumped into the bentonite soil to separate the soil from the foundation so the building can be pulled south because it's sliding north. So she had a very comprehensive knowledge about what they were doing, but never informed the tenants before reissuing the leases, having us sign our leases.
Wow.
For that year. I was stunned. I was without words at that point. And after I hung up with the property manager, Sherry Reynolds, I had called the newly formed Broomfield City and called the public health department, and they stated that it wasn't a public health issue. It was between myself and the property manager, which, of course, that wasn't the case. And their claim was because it was on the inside of the building instead of the outside of the building, and I kept trying to tell them it's on the holes have been drilled on the exterior sidewalks around the building, leading right up to the doors, as well as on the interior of the building. And they need to get over here immediately.
I don't understand. What difference, I mean, if they were doing something that was going to be on the interior of the building, that would be toxic. I mean, either way, it's going to affect the people in the building.
Exactly. Well, their claim was that they were newly formed. They were just voted in as the new Broomfield City and County in November of 2000, and that they didn't have a fully official team. That's what I was told about a year later. And that they had forwarded my concerns over to the chief building official, which did view the building, but he had never gone into any of the holes and taken any samples. He had never brought an air mass meter to measure the air quality.
To analyze it. Oh.
Exactly. So you're missing the evidence, which is buried under, to this day, 8 feet or more of cement. And the state health department, I had for 6 months called OSHA. OSHA said because I was, quote-unquote, a third-party injury and not one of the construction workers that worked in those holes, I could not make a report, and that the time had expired because they have 6 months, the construction workers have 6 months with which to file.
Mm-hmm.
But they asked me, well, why didn't the public health department come out? And I explained the situation of what's transpired. They turned around and said, well, they did. They were shocked, and they called the state of Colorado, who made a little complaint but never came out and investigated.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not kidding. So I've had to forage ahead and go through my congressman and, you know, do all this internet research in the midst of being told by 9 doctors that I was dying, that the person to go to, which I finally reached, was it's called the Criminal Investigative Division of the EPA. And I received a telephone number from all of my calls going into Washington, D.C. The EPA investigator, Steve Bossler, has had to go to the Attorney General to get permission to re-drill to get that evidence, to go 8 feet now under what they call P cement. It's been filled in. All of those holes have been filled in. So they'd have to re-drill to get down and get a soil sample that would make the claim that they could diagnose that those chemicals were actually used there, because that's evidence.
They probably dumped cement in there to make sure nobody would do it. You know what I'm saying? They probably.
Oh, I fully understand what you're saying, because Channel 7 News was there September 5th of 2001, and they had to change the name of the complex from the Greens at Interlaken to Camden at Interlaken to bear facts, because the phone was ringing off the hook after Channel 7 News left the property manager called me and said, why is Channel 7 News here?
So you were the one that called the...
Oh, there was no question about it. And Channel 7 News video that I still have to this day shows she started out in between level 3 and the apartment complex I was living in. She started up her news story that hit at 5 p.m. standing over a crevice that was actually opening up in the ground. She was standing over it and said that this is what happens when you build on top of prairie soil that's giving away. Well, that was not just prairie soil. What was underneath all of that development of Interlochen, I came to find out over the years of research, was a coal mine, some of which are still active. So it's a catacomb of coal mines that residential buildings have been built on top of. And the apartment complex that I was in, that was actually a man-made mountain of clay-packed soil.
What is prairie soil?
It's just, she was trying to say that it was an open prairie, and yes, it had been open, it was actually, had been a part of a 100-year-old ranch is what it was.
Uh-huh.
And the soil composition is clay pack. People would know it in Colorado as bentonite, but it's a mixture of clay pack that was in that area. And I came to find out that the Flatirons Mall was built on top of the Monarch Mine, and they actually had a memorial when they opened the mall to the miners that had died in an explosion on that mine.
Oh, my God.
And then the rest of the mines were surrounding the Flatirons Mall are now residential buildings as you go west of the Flatirons Mall and go east. That's where all the industrial has been built. And because of the density of development, the homes are, the foundations are breaking apart, just like I've described in my complex. And cement slabs of the garages and so forth are pulling away from the homes. And basically, they are being bankrupted. And nobody is talking about the fact that if the ground opens up underneath those homes where the mines are still burning, that they are getting chemically injured or asphyxiated like I was.
Oh, my God. Well, is the press aware of this?
We have tried to take this back to the news, and they said that they have covered the story twice because the owner of all of that land was a part of a 100-year-old ranch. She was my neighbor in the back behind me, and she had Channel 7 News there in 2000. She lived, that was the last home left in the area that was directly across from Corporate Express that had not been torn down, and she was the rightful owner of all of that property. And the property was taken from her by eminent domain, and she was forced out, basically. And she went through the top real estate attorney, and he said that they have more resources than you do. Just give it up.
Oh, my God. You know, something similar happened in Atlanta when Billy Payne decided to build the Great Park in downtown Atlanta. He forced people to sell him their property at a very low price.
Mm-hmm.
And when they didn't, he burned their factory down.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it goes on all the time now.
Well, the interesting thing is that there have been problems all along the way, and how what's disturbing me, which I feel that I'm dealing with a government that the government of big business, and that this government does not want. They'd rather kill its own citizens than deal with these issues. They don't want them.
Well,
businesses to be exposed. So what happens is the chief building official has never filed a report. As a matter of fact, I even filed with Xcel Energy because filed a complaint on or about, it was July 10th, at the same time that I filed with the Public Health Department for Broomfield and Camden. I had notified Camden and so forth. They were not only drilling holes in my own garage, they were using my electricity, plugging into my electricity, using my electricity for that.
Oh, my.
In the garage, which the lines, the electrical lines for the electricity go up the wall from the garage to the kitchen, which tie into my fuse box on the second floor, and it kept being short-circuited. So what that meant was that because of the extent of the fumes, that could have blown up at any point in time with that overload.
Oh, absolutely.
And
what was the name of that movie that Julia Roberts played, the girl that it fought?
The Erin Brockovich.
This is like an Erin Brockovich story.
Oh, and I actually did go to Erin Brockovich with this, and because I have not been able to find the other tenants, there was so much movement in and out of the building that it's like you have to have a town to get an Erin Brockovich case. You have to have a whole town before they'll take it on. And
why is it that why I'm curious as to why you can't find some of the other tenants.
Well, there was so much movement in and out, and I didn't really realize that all of these tenants on the bottom floor were being moved out. I saw all these trucks. I thought it was kind of odd. But it's like nobody said anything because I think they probably evicted them or had some type of paperwork served on them to try to keep it quiet.
I was just going to say, once you started blowing the whistle, then they got everybody out of there, is what it sounds like.
Well, no, that was before. That was months before. That was like in January. People on the bottom floor were moving out, and nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew anything. And that's the way they wanted it. They were patching the pool in that place. It was a beautiful place with a gym and everything. The fire department, I couldn't even get the fire department to come out and aid me because the fire department was using the gym facilities. They'd come out with their fire trucks and go into the gym facilities. So they had strategically planned their maneuvers. Xcel Energy came out, and I showed them how they had plugged in their steel piling equipment and drills and everything to my outlets. They saw it with their own eyes. They take photographs of this, and I had this huge bill, $2,000, and Xcel Energy filed a little notice in their computer system, but they never filed it's a city code violation to use someone else's electricity. They never filed a complaint or put anything to the chief building official.
So
in Broomfield.
Did you wind up having to pay the bill?
Oh, absolutely. I still have $600 remaining to this day on that bill.
And there was nothing you could do about it?
You have to, even for a civil case, you're going to have to come up with some form of evidence. And what I'm trying to explain is that all the evidence is being buried by the chief building official, the public health department, Xcel Energy, the property management firm, 3D Peering and Home Improvement, who was at fault for all of this, and even the EPA. I still haven't heard from them in this whole year.
And this was the city of Broomfield?
Broomfield, Broomfield,
Colorado.
And I found out since, besides everything that I'm telling you, that there had been one of the reasons that this is always ranch property and never been developed between Boulder and Denver, because there used to be a two-hour drive where it was nothing here. And one of the reasons that this particular area had never been developed, it was too close to Rocky Flats, and there had been plutonium dropped in these fields years ago.
I was going to raise that point, actually. How many miles is that complex from Rocky Flats?
I would say something like 7 to 10. No,
oh,
I would
definitely.
Say it's a little bit more.
Yeah.
But the point is that there were radiation drops in canisters in the soil, and now on the east side of Rocky Flats, they're continuing to build further west of Flatirons Mall, southwest. And there, it's coming up to the east entrance of Rocky Flats. And Rocky Flats, they are building a park on top of Rocky Flats, that they have cleaned up Rocky Flats.
That's what I heard.
So this has been a major problem here. And Adrienne Anderson, she's an environmental professor, has brought up these type of environmental concerns. She has been the Erin Brockovich of Colorado for years. And she was just terminated. Her job was recently terminated which you, no one has heard about this because she filed a federal lawsuit. And she was the pioneer of bringing out companies like Coors and Lockheed, who've dumped their environmental toxins into the water supplies. And Lockheed had done it
And Coors south is right close to there, too. How far is Coors from there?
Coors is in Golden, and I would say it's about, it's about, from Rocky Flats, it's about another 10 miles. Mm-hmm. But the fact remains that south of Denver, there was a Lockheed plant that was built around the 1950s, and there was rocket fuel and other toxins dumped into a lake behind the Lockheed plant, and that lake, that's a water source that feeds into the water supply of Denver, which goes by a very upper-middle-class residential area called Friendly Hills. And Friendly Hills...
What a dichotomy.
Yes, and Friendly Hills had... The residents of Friendly Hills had actually come to Adrian Anderson asking for their help because professors, CU professors, contribute 20% of their time to the community, because their children were coming out with various forms of cancer, missing digits. One woman gave birth to a 9-pound tumor, and that this was going on, and they didn't know what to do, and they're being financially burdened, of course, and bankrupted because they can't sell their properties because of this,
if
this issue comes out. So, and
you know what's so ludicrous about the whole situation is that Boulder, you know, professes to be this ecological, environmentally pristine area of the country, and 10 miles up the road, this devastation is going on.
And there has been many protests and many complaints, and it comes down to that political link. Who's paying who? How much big business can pay off or bury the evidence? That's what I found out. I am in a small, relatively small case in comparison, and yet I'm faced with this, that I have no evidence. I have no diagnosis, no evidence that this even went on, medical evidence or physical evidence.
In other words, all your medical records have vanished as well?
Well, the medical evidence, the records are there, but they don't have any diagnosis. They have nothing that states that these chemicals cause the condition.
I see. Hmm.
They just say, oh, well, we have breast cancer here in one hospital. Another hospital says you have a mass in your lung. Another doctor will say, oh, no, it's asthma. A toxicologist said it's two respiratory conditions. So you have a mishmash of records, all saying that you have these effects, but there's no cause to those effects. There's nothing linked to those chemicals.
Wow.
There's no medical diagnosis saying that the chemicals cause the condition, and then there's no physical evidence to link that the link that caused your medical conditions were at your residence.
You know, I wanted to give the call-in number to see if there's any listeners who might want to call in and ask some questions, or maybe they've experienced something similar. And the number is 888-268-4313. I'm curious, what did, when you started going to the naturopath then, so he diagnosed you as just having been the brunt of a chemical stew, basically, right? And he was trying to rebuild your immune system.
Well, we didn't know what it was. He just said, your whole body, is everything in your body is shutting down. That's why you've been losing your hair and your voice. And I could hardly talk at that point. And he did, he looked at my chest. He took a physical exam, and he saw this huge mass on the right side underneath my skin. And he was the one that was doing the proper thing by sending me to medical doctors, because this was, he felt, was out of his realm, and it was intense and aggressive and whatever it was. We just didn't know what it was, but we knew it was serious. And I had already been at trying to flush out whatever this was out of my body, just from my own kitchen cabinets through my own German herbal tea combinations or other remedies, but I didn't know what this was for a year. And I was making all these telephone calls and going to all these different hospitals, if you can imagine, all at Christmas time, too, and surgery at Christmas. And finally, got a breakthrough. It was in the first week of December of 2002, I finally got the management safety and data sheet on these chemicals. And the chemical company denied that that was a class one chemical that was in the buckets that this man had used. Because I had tracked down, I had called 3D Peering and Home Improvement and asked them, because the state health department had called them, and she had said, that's a class one carcinogenic, which I was a layman. I didn't know what that meant at the time. But I had called 3D Peering and Home Improvement for the actual barcode on the bucket that he had, and he kept telling me to go to Sam's. It said Sam's. I kept asking him for the management safety and data sheets, because technically chemicals like of this nature are not allowed to be used without 3D Peering Home Improvement having those management safety and data sheets and knowing all of the safety procedures for their own employees before using those chemicals. In other words, their employees should have been in hazmat suits to use those chemicals, and they were in jeans and cut-off T-shirts and so forth, and some of the people put bandanas over their mouths, but they were basically Mexican workers that didn't have the knowledge and didn't read this little tiny fine print on this bucket that states that the National Cancer Institute determined that this chemical causes cancer in lab animals.
Good God.
So,
I mean, it's just the insensitivity and the lack of compassion that these construction people and community authorities, that they can turn their backs on such a crucial situation is so appalling. I wonder how these people sleep at night.
Well, they're making considerable money. That's how they sleep at night, and they're paying people off to do so. And what's even more amazing is how much harassment I had received, because for all of these years, only up until the beginning, I think it was the beginning of this year, I finalized the last of the police reports that this property manager had either paid people off to file against me or stopped interviewing with the police on, because I had to go to my congressman and say, this woman keeps coming up, this property manager keeps getting to be interviewed, and she keeps coming in up in all these various police reports. And the police reports were minor traffic incidences, or it would be one woman said that I harassed her. It was a gas station attendant said I harassed her. And they kept going back and interviewing this property manager for some unknown reason. And it didn't make any sense.
So she was making up stories to discredit you.
Oh, absolutely. They will absolutely pay people off and discredit you and harass you and basically make your life hell and steal all of your damage deposit, make you pay for every electrical bill that they have absorbed, and it just goes on.
Well, you shouldn't have paid any of it.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't. It still comes up in your credit record, because there's no accountability there. There's no one to force any accountability on any of these agencies.
Holy mackerel. And the EPA won't even cooperate.
Well, the EPA, I go to the congressman, and the congressman tells me that he will contact me. He hasn't contacted me for the whole year.
Oh, you're kidding.
And the last, I personally met with him and showed him the remaining scars where you can see the actual measurements of the cutouts there in the cement, because you can't just hide that.
Uh-huh.
And so he knows exactly where to drill, but it's getting the paperwork from the Attorney General's office to go back on private property to do that drilling. And this is a man that just, he knows what it is. He kept completing my sentences when I was talking about that the workers are going to have lesions on their skin because they had direct contact I was just breathing the chemicals, but they had direct contact with those chemicals. And they track the chemicals back to their homes to expose their children and family to those chemicals. And they're poor because they're Mexican workers.
Oh, sad.
And the other part about it was that 3D Peering and Home Improvement has used those same chemicals, which can be purchased in bulk from Sam's Club, going for 2 years prior to coming to this residence.
Wow.
And so all of those other homes that have those fumes that have been coated on the interior of their walls, in between the walls, are going to be chemically injured. They just don't recognize it as a chemical injury once he leaves.
Wow.
And the chemical company
And you couldn't get the media to do a follow-up story on this?
No, because they covered it twice. They covered the owner of the land in 2000, my own story in 2001.
Well, it seems like the only solution is to find a documentary producer who's willing to go in and follow the story.
Yeah, it's going to take someone with some clout. It really is. And I was hoping to go on a major network. And there was another woman that had a major case here. And in her situation, in her apartment, it was methamphetamine, residual methamphetamine on the walls. And the landlord not only won in the court case, but painted over the walls and called it done. And people don't realize that you have to tear the walls out, that everything has to be torn out, that in her situation, she had an environmental engineering firm come and take test samples of her carpets and couch and so forth. They took all of her antique furniture, everything she owned, clothing, everything, because there was so much residual methamphetamine in the apartment that it traveled down and it was on everything that she owned. And she was a retired vice president of a bank, and she had suffered, she was having twitches and nosebleeds, and it was one of the neighbors that said, "You don't know, do you?" And she said, "No, what?" That was a former methamphetamine lab. That apartment was a former methamphetamine lab that you're living in.
Holy.
And not only did she lose the case, which would have been a landmark case for setting legal precedent in the state, but the landlord got to walk out of that courtroom, paint, and rent it out again in Estes Park, which is a very prestigious area.
That's unbelievable. It's hard to believe.
Well, one of the things it brings up is that we need federal laws across the nation to lock in and seize these properties.
Or to adhere to the regulations. I mean,
there are, even if they have regulations, Boulder has come up to the point now of having a department for mold issues, where we have a mold investigator, but they don't have anything that tells the city building official that he can go and seize the property.
I see.
So the person in the mold division will go and send letters.
Uh-huh.
And call up the person that is renting property that is mold infested. But there is nothing to actually seize the properties, and this is what needs to happen. Because the owners, the cost is so exorbitant, the owners will never repair or start tearing out the walls.
Well, in the case of mold, I mean, I've had a lot of experience with that, especially in the South. There's so many homes here that are contaminated with mold, and you know, they call people in to spray and to dry out the house. Well, it doesn't matter what they do. That mold always exists in the house. It's not something that's ever going to be eradicated for the whole life of the house. And people don't realize that.
And what they don't realize is the connection between the toxic elements that they're living in and how it affects them internally.
Oh, I know.
How these spores gain and attach onto their lungs, just like the chemicals that I was explaining in my situation, which were called polynuclear aromatic hydrocarbons, will actually destroy the cells and tissue as it goes through your body. that's what these masses are that they, that you can see, these lymphatic infiltrates.
How are you feeling these days, Gabrielle?
Well, I would say I'm tired because it's similar to what would be called fibromyalgia. Although I have a voice, I'm still fighting to get enough oxygen and stay on a regime. It takes a high, intense load of vitamins to counter this, and you have to do considerable nutritional support.
Oh, I can imagine.
So there's a price
tag. The cost of vitamins is not cheap either. Trying to
There's a price tag that comes with ongoing treatment, and this is one of the reasons that I kept going for the information, like the management safety and data sheets. I didn't know how to treat this, and I'm probably going to continue on IVs for a few more years until we can flush more of the chemicals out of the body, because with the type of chemicals that, petroleum chemicals that I'm talking about, toluene, xylene, and so forth, there comes other elements that could be seen in my blood review, which was mercury and lead, and that's why the naturopathic doctor was doing chelation IVs.
But that seems to have helped dramatically, right?
Yes, along with those vitamin IVs, followed by the vitamin IVs, which other doctors have said either do the chelation, or they've gone and said if they're more, more advanced, they say do the vitamin IVs, but they won't do one right after another like he did.
Uh-huh.
And do that combination, which I think is critical.
Well, I want to tell you that I have to give you credit for the courage that you've carried on and investigated as much as you can. I hope someone's listening to this show that will contact us and perhaps help you get a documentary created, or maybe someone could finance you to fight this issue, because it's certainly an issue that affects hundreds of thousands of people every year in America who get guided into homes that are toxic and office buildings that are toxic, and it literally kills them and they don't know what's killing them. But I really appreciate your time, and I appreciate you sharing your story with us, and I just want to thank you for being with us this evening, and I'll certainly put you in my prayers, and I hope everyone else will too.
Well, thank you for having me.
And good night, and keep in touch. We want to know what's going on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.